me.
Why don't you just thank God that you are in His presence this morning? I don't know where you've been all the days of the week, but today you made it into church. You are in His presence. He said, you will show me the path of life. The path of life in your presence. Say, Father, I thank you that I'm in your presence. Thank you because today you will change me. Today you will lift me. Today you will charge me up with your spirit and with your word. Today you will transform me. Today you will deliver me. Today you will heal me. Today you will restore me. Today you will give me light and vision and purpose. Today you will set me free. Go ahead and talk to Father. And say, Father, thank you because I'm in your presence. God, I'm grateful to be here in your presence. In your presence. In your presence. There is fullness of joy. The joy of deliverance. The joy of transformation. The joy of revelation. The joy of being set free from bondage. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, we ask you to do your work. Move in our midst. Bring upon your word. Release your word. Oh, let the good in the heart in the heart. Release your word. Let your word do a great, tangible, substantial work in our lives. We don't want to remain the same. We don't want to be religious. We want to know Jesus. We don't want to be religious. We want to know Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We hand over the meeting to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alright, today I'm talking about the topic what? Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. You know, I know that you've been walking through your journey in life. You know, some of you have been coming to church. You've heard about Jesus. Yeah? You've seen people who are Christians. You've seen their lifestyle. Some of you, you've seen the power of God at work. You've been healed. Have been healed many times over. I gave a testimony of my teeth falling off. And the Lord fixed it. Hallelujah. He fixed it. I went to the dentist. He said, look, there's no other hope. You're either going to, you know, have a denture or fix a dental implant for £3,000. Then my faith rose. I said, I don't have 3,000. Hallelujah. That same week, God healed my teeth. That same week. It is whole. Teeth, gum, everything. A wobbly tooth fixed by God. Hallelujah. That's the healing power of Jesus. But as you've been going through life, you may have wondered that this Jesus they've been talking about, they've not seen him. Hallelujah. You know what? He came the first time. That Jesus came the first time is a fact. But that's not the end of the story. Hallelujah. I want you to understand. That's not the end of the story. Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. The first time he came as a lamb. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And after all the great works he did, he allowed them to crucify him. He allowed them. He could have. You know, we are talking about this in home fellowship. You know, when Jesus was praying in the garden, he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to be crucified. You know why? He saw the shame, the rejection, not just of men, but even God had to reject him. He said, because he was bearing the sin of the world. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what I always say. You say, whatever you are going through in life, Jesus has gone through it. Do you feel forsaken by men? Jesus was forsaken, not just by men, but by the Father. Hallelujah. You know, he felt rejection. You know, like I was saying last week, I was talking about the feeding of the 5,000. You know, the same people that ate his food, they ate what? His food. Hallelujah. They came back and said, Lord, forevermore give us this bread. But on the day of crucifixion, they were the same people that were incited by the crowd. And they were shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. That was rejection. Or are you going through a situation in your life right now that you feel rejection? Or have you felt rejection before? Jesus has walked in your place. Hallelujah. The difference between both of these that you are born into sin. Jesus knew no sin. Hallelujah. Like we're saying last week, you know, many times we think we deserve something. You see, when something is happening, you say, I don't deserve this. Hallelujah. But we establish, like, what do you really deserve? Lamentations 3:22. He said, if not, no, I'm not quoting the right one. He said, if not because of the Lord's mercies, we will have what? All been consumed. You think you deserve something? You think you deserve something? Romans 6:23 says, is that the wages of sin is what? Is death. That's what we all deserve. That's what? We all deserve. But for the mercy of God. Hallelujah. You see, you could not take the next breath without the mercy of God. You don't have any power to take the next breath. When you sleep, you don't have any power to wake yourself up. It's the mercy of God. Hallelujah. It is the grace of God. That's why that the only way you can respond back to God is to live for Him. To refuse to live for Him is the biggest sin. Are you with me? Because you are nothing of yourself. Hallelujah. I know you have a good degree. Who gave you the brain? You know, if we analyze the brain physically, it's just liquid. I mean, just take that brain and analyze it. It's not as strong as iron. And yet, it can design machines. Hallelujah. Who put the technology there? It's not you. You have nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. It's the mercy of God. Say, I am what I am. Because of the mercy and the grace of God. Now listen, for you not to respond to grace is a sin. It's the biggest sin. Hallelujah, because God is your benefactor. You cannot take all the goodness of God and just walk away. Hallelujah, you cannot. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. Hallelujah, He will demand of you the account. So the only way to respond to grace is to cooperate with God. Now, when you begin to cooperate with God, God will take you from the earthly, human, animalistic realm. You know, what you will eat, what you will drink, what cow you will ride, which house you will sleep in, what clothes you will wear. That's the earthly, human, animalistic realm. God will take you beyond that realm and begin to give value, purpose to your life. Hallelujah. Your life is more than the food you eat. Your life is more than the clothes you wear. Your life is more than your education. Your life is more than your profession. Your life is more than your family. Hallelujah. Your life is a gift. Hallelujah. And the only way to use your life is to offer it back in response to God. To do His will. Hallelujah. Whoever did God's will, He said, not my will. Say to yourself, say, not now what you say. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Hallelujah. You know, when you are located in God, hallelujah, you have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh, yes, God did not promise you that you will not go through storms. But He said that when you are in that storm, I will be with you. Not only that, I will help you to walk upon the water. Hallelujah. You see, the storms that have come to your life, they did not come to destroy you. That may be the Satan's plan. So I want to teach you the story of two kingdoms. Whatever comes up to you, your way in life, Satan has a plan. And God has what? A plan. Who will win? No? Hello? Whatever comes your way in life, Satan has a plan. And God what? Has a plan. Where are you? In the middle. You are in the middle of spiritual warfare. You can't see it. You can't see it, but it's there. Have you ever seen electricity? You've seen it. So why wouldn't you touch a live wire? Hallelujah. Who decides who wins? God has a plan. Satan has a plan. In your life, who will win? Yes?
In my life, God will win.
Hallelujah. Why?
He will win because I've been doing the will of God.
Because you've decided. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. That's your role. Hallelujah. I keep telling people, I say the power for your breakthrough is not in you. It's more about who you side with. Hallelujah. Listen to that. Listen to that. The transformation you need, you don't have the power to make it happen. But you have the power to choose who to side with. Hallelujah. When you side with God, yeah, you are on the winning side. Now, when you don't have to side with Satan, because I know if I ask you now, you tell me never, I will never side with Satan. I know. You don't need to tell me. But any time you refuse to side with God, there is no demilitarized zone in the spirit. Listen to that again. In the spirit, there's no neutral zone. Hallelujah. Say you meet someone on the street, say, oh, how are you? Do you believe in God? No. Do you believe in the devil? Say, no. So what are you? Say, I'm just neutral. There's no neutral zone. Anytime you don't side with God, yeah, you are siding with who? The enemy of your soul. Hallelujah. And when you're in that zone, no matter how hard you try, it's like you're going around in circles. Hallelujah. Because your life does not have a purpose. Hallelujah. But when you side with God, hallelujah, no matter what you're going through, He will see you through. And He will take you over. So just say, God will see me through. And He will take me over. You know why? Because with God, all things. Now let me tell you something. I'm not afraid to tell you that I can never go down. Never. Now remember, I didn't say situations cannot come at me. But I'm telling you that they can never overcome me. You know why? Because I know who I sided with. I am not worshiping Jesus anymore. I am living for Jesus. Jesus is my life. Hallelujah. Now, death could not win Jesus. Because I've established in this church before, I said, your greatest enemy in life is what? Is death. Think about anything that can make you afraid. What's the worst that could happen to you? Death. But Jesus, you know what He did? He went into death and came out. Hallelujah. He went into death and He came out victorious. Hallelujah. The Bible says He has conquered death. For us. Hallelujah. If you believe in Jesus. If you believe. But it only belongs to if you believe. Let me show you something. Go open to John 3:16. We're talking about Jesus today. Say to yourself, we are talking about Jesus. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Chapter 3. John 3. Look at verse 16 and verse 17. Yes, I'd like someone to read for me. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Yes, anyone can start. Yes, Sister Frieda. John 3, 16 and 17. Please follow in your Bible. Yes?
For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him.
Verse 18.
There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him. But anyone who does not believe in Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son.
Verse 19.
And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world. But people loved the darkness more than the light. For their actions were evil.
20.
All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed.
21.
But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. In Jesus' name. There's a specific blessing that was transferred to you just now. I don't know what that need was. Amen. Specific. Hallelujah. You see, God loves the old world. But not the old world will be saved. You got it? Don't ever forget it. Don't ever what? Forget it. It's the first lesson you can learn, yeah, in following Jesus, is that God loves the old world. But not the old world will be saved. Why? Doesn't God love the old world? He did. God so loved the world. But why will the old world not be saved? Because there is a choice you are making. You say to yourself, say, there's a choice I'm making daily. It's your choice that determines your salvation. Hallelujah. Now, you can never save yourself. That's God's job. Hallelujah. It's God that sent his son into the world. Hallelujah. He gave up his only son. And that son gave up his only life for you. Hallelujah. God has provided everything you need to be saved. But it's your choice whether you will embrace what God has provided or you will reject it. Every day you are making that choice in the things you do. Hallelujah. And so if you have ended up living a life of rejecting Jesus in your ways, you can never expect to spend eternity with him. But if you have lived a life of following Jesus, you can never expect not to go to heaven. Are you with me? If you are following Jesus, then you are certain then that you will live eternity with him. You know why? Because you know him and he knows you. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, I know him and he knows me. That is the guarantee that I will live with him forever. Question. Does he know you? Does Jesus know you? Or are you just playing religion? Hallelujah. Let's now go to Matthew 25. Go to Matthew 25. I'm showing something. I'm trying to show you today something that is very important. Because you see, as we walk through life, we get carried away by everything that is going on. If only we can understand that the things that are going on in life, they cannot compare with the greater things. Hallelujah. You know, there was once upon a time, there was a rich man. This man, he had all he wanted. He lived a good life. Every day was party. I'm reading the Bible, is there? With his brothers, they had party every day. And the Bible says that at the same time, there was a poor beggar named Lazarus. And this beggar, he had what? Nothing. Not even food. In fact, the only thing he can say that he really had as his own was sauce on his body. And the Bible said he just came and licked the sauce. And every day he lay there. But this man will just walk past. Hallelujah. The Bible said one day the rich man died. And the poor man also what? You know, this death is no respecter of person. I'm not saying you will die. You will live long. But you see, it's not enough to just pray that you live long. What do you want to live long for? To continue to serve the flesh and the world and the devil? That does not glorify God. Hallelujah. When God says, I will satisfy you with long life, it's because he wants to use that. He knows that life, you will use it for his glory. That is the value of your life. Hallelujah. It's the value of your life that you allow Jesus to function through you. Amen. To touch other lives around you. And I'm saying it's not that you're in church every day. Everywhere you are, you live for Jesus. Hallelujah. Everywhere you live for Jesus. When you live like that, you have no fear of shame. When you appear before God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That rich man died. And the poor man also died. Everybody will pass on one day. And I would like to keep reminding you that, so that when I remind you, my focus is to remind you that you have to make the most of your life now. And the most of your life is not in the material things you have. Now, the material things you have are good, provided you use them for God's glory. But if you don't use your material things for God's glory, they are useless. They will not count. They will what? They will burn when they pass through the fire of God. But everything you have, use it for His glory. You have no regret. Imagine, you have what? No regret. Imagine God says, I'm coming today. And I can say, yes, Lord, I'm expecting you. Hallelujah. You see, when we talk about Jesus coming back again, it's not something that should make us afraid. It's something that should make us excited. But we will be afraid if we are not doing the right thing. But that's not God's plan. Are you with me? When you are spending your day serving Jesus, and you hear that Jesus is coming, you say, ah, thank God. Thank God. He will come and deliver me from this wretched world. Hallelujah. But if you are not living for Jesus, that's when the fear comes. And like my brother said, he said, what? There's no fear in love. You know what that means? If I am living in active, loving relationship with Jesus, I don't have anything to be afraid of. Hallelujah. Even Paul said, even they cut your head, there's no fear. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. So in that way, I win. Hallelujah. In that way, what? I win. Let me just say this. For example, imagine that, you know, they took a Christian, and because he was preaching, they sent him to prison. You know what he will do in prison? He will evangelize the prison. Either way, we win. Hallelujah. There's nothing you can do to a dead man. He died already to all those things. Hallelujah. So that the life you now live, you live by faith in the Son of God. I'm talking about living for Jesus. That's the value of your life. You must never forget it. Because when it's all been said and done, that's what will matter most. Did you live for Jesus? Listen to your neighbor. Ask them. Say, are you living for Jesus? John 14. Go to John 14. I don't want to preach for too long today, so I've left my sermon notes. I just flow as the Holy Spirit will help me. John chapter 14, verse 1-6. John chapter 14, verse 1-6. Now, let's have another reader. Agnes, are you still there? We should let you read, because if you're going to be with us here, we're going to encourage you. John chapter 14, verse 1-6.
Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you now know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
Amen.
You see that? Hallelujah. Firstly, when we think about Jesus coming, he said, you know what? Don't let your heart be troubled. You are too afraid. Or we. Let me not say you, so that you don't think I'm talking down. We are what? Many times we are too anxious. We are too worried. We are too afraid about things. Some things you even have no control over, you worry over them. Hallelujah. Sorry. You know, I read the news sometime. So there was this man that loved horses all his life. And he took care of horses. And so he's dying. And, you know, the people think about it, you know, the nurses and the doctors, that how can we give him, you know, at least give him a good, you know, experience before he dies. So they find an ox and they bring it near to his hospital unit, and he was able to feed that horse, you know, and that gave him a lot of happiness. Amen? Are you with me? But no matter how much happiness you can get in worldly things, you can't take them with you. Are you with me? You came to this world naked, nothing. Everything you have, you receive. Say to yourself, everything I have received. From who? God is your benefactor. Even whether even people who say I don't believe in God, they are still at the mercy of God. And you know what I like about God? Because God is merciful, he doesn't destroy the sinner immediately. Have you ever seen bad people are like you know, in this country, like, you know, when people are really bad, you know, people wish them 10 life sentences. You know, people say, you know, they should rot in hell. But God is merciful. He doesn't deal with us like we would deal with others. Hallelujah. You know, that golden rule, he said, do unto others as you have them do unto you. If God did that to you, you are finished. Hallelujah. He's patient. He's merciful. Because he wants the sinner to come to repentance. He said, God is not willing that any should perish. But people will perish. They will, because they refuse God. But he wants everybody to come to what? Repentance. Hallelujah. So all the things in this world can never satisfy. They will lift you up and they will smash you down. But Jesus, he said, I am the way. You've been looking for this way. Something that you can have and you know that your life is okay. Say, I don't have everything, but I have Jesus. My life is on the right track. I am what? The way. He said, I'm the truth. You see, if Jesus doesn't satisfy you, nothing can ever satisfy you. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. I have a brother, but he's thousands of miles away. But Jesus is here with me. Hallelujah. Whether in good times or in bad times, Jesus is where? With me. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You say, I'm the way, I am the truth, I am what? The light. Sometimes you have some things you've been looking for, then you cross your leg and say, yes, now I'm enjoying life. Yeah? Have you ever felt that way? That this is the life. C'est la vie. Yeah? It's not the life. It will still let you down. Hallelujah. Jesus is the life. Hallelujah. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. It's the greatest treasure of all. When you have Jesus, you have had the greatest treasure. What you now need to do is walk with him. So just say, I need to walk with Jesus. That's how to be prepared. If you are walking with Jesus, if you are serving Jesus, you have nothing to be afraid of. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming to you. He is glory to God. And I will still keep walking until he comes. Because I love him. It's not enough for Jesus to love you. You have to love him back. You know why? Love is a gift which must be received. Hallelujah. You receive it. Now when you receive it, you don't go and bury it. Hallelujah. You receive it and then you release it. Hallelujah. I said love is what? A gift. Love is not to be consumed. Love. The love of God is not to be what? Consumed. If you are consuming the love of God, you are a consumer. Consumers never help the economy. An economy can never grow because of consumers. Anybody doing economics? What helps an economy to grow? Producers. Businesses. Production. Manufacturing. Farming. Even as basic as farming, it can help the economy to what? To grow. If we are all consumers, one day we wake up and there will be no food. Are you with me? When you receive that love of God, you let it change you. Hallelujah. Then you become Jesus. I'm not saying that you take the place of Jesus. Jesus takes the place of you. Amen. Jesus dominates your life. He said, oh, do you love Jesus? He said, no, I don't just love Jesus. Jesus is everything. Hallelujah. I'm living for Jesus. Amen. Let me wake you up and we finish. 10 minutes. Go to Matthew 25. That's where we round up. I want to explain this old story to you so that you understand it. And then we'll round up then. Actually, that's not the last place we open, but that's the text. And then I will explain it with some one or two verses. And then we'll round up. Matthew 25. Someone read for me verse 1 to 13. That's the story. Matthew 25. So now we're going to the right side. My right side. Matthew 25 verse 1 to 13. Yes. Let's ask someone who has not read today. A lady. Matthew 25 verse 1 to 13. Yes. Let's read it.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins.
10 virgins, or if you are reading New Living, 10 bridesmaids. Yeah? What is the job of bridesmaids? Anybody tell me, what is the job of bridesmaids? Let's try, Sister Kevin. What's the job of bridesmaids in a wedding?
They look after the bride.
They look after the bride. They follow the bride. Yeah? They are friends of the bride. Yes, go on.
Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
So in those days, there was no electricity. Yeah?
And
so at night, you need lamps. And what do you need to keep lamps burning?
Oil.
Okay, go on.
And 5 of them were wise.
Now notice, there were 10 bridesmaids. They were all friends of the bride. They were all seeking for the bridegroom. They were all what? Seeking for the bride. That means that in our day, they all call themselves Christians. Yeah? They are all registered in one church or the other. There are 10 bridesmaids. Yes?
And 5 were foolish.
5 were wise. 5 were
foolish.
Foolish.
They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them.
Listen to that. The people, the bridesmaids, they were seekers, they were religious, but they took their lamps, but they took what?
No oil.
Now please understand what I'm trying to say. The moment they took their lamps, there was some leftover oil there. Yeah? That's all. But they took nothing more. Say, oh, you know what they want? You know the way they operate? I do my minimum. Minimum. And I will just squeeze through. If I can just do my minimum and squeeze through into heaven, I'm okay. They took what? No oil. Are you following the story? I want you to understand the story between the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. Some took extra oil, some what? Took no oil. They look at the lamp. This lamp is boiling. That's okay. My minimum. I don't want to all this Jesus business. I just want to do my minimum. Okay, go on. I want to enjoy my life, but I also want to make heaven. Do you get the idea? I want to enjoy my life and I want to make heaven. By the way, God is not against you enjoying your life. Go on.
But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept.
Okay, so bridegroom delayed. Yeah? Or tarried. But it delayed from their point of view. That doesn't necessarily mean that it delayed from his own point of view. Okay? From their point of view, they had an expectation that the bridegroom will come early. And he came later. But the bridegroom always knew when he would come. Okay? Yes, continue.
And at midnight, there was a cry made.
Okay?
Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil.
Yes.
For our lamps are gone out.
Okay.
But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you.
Okay.
But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for
yourselves. And buy. Please take note of that. I'm going to ask you a question now. That's the key. And buy. Yes.
And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him.
They that were what?
Ready.
Yes.
Went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut.
The door was shut. Continue.
Afterward came
verse, what
also
are you?
11.
Please follow your Bible. Go on.
Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord.
Lord, Lord. To us. Lord, Lord. They called him what? Lord. Emphatically. Yes, go on.
But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not.
I know you not. Yes.
Watch therefore.
Watch therefore.
For ye know neither the day.
You don't know the day.
Nor the hour.
Nor the hour.
Wherein the Son of Man cometh.
When the Son of Man, Jesus, is coming. You may think, oh yeah, everything's okay. And he will come. So now, question. This will wake everybody up now. If you read that story, you can see, just literally speaking, that it looks to me that the reason why the foolish bridesmaids were shut down, they were shut out, is because they did not have oil in their lamps, and they went to seek for oil. And the Bible actually said they even came back, but the door was shut against them. The question is this: what is the oil? That bothers me. Because it looks to me that the oil in the lamp made the difference between five Christians who made heaven and five who didn't. The oil in the lamp. Listen, they all called him Lord. Don't forget the story. They all called him what? Lord. But he said, I don't know you, to half of them. They didn't have oil in the lamp. What is the oil? Let's take like five answers. I saw your hand up already. What is this oil that we can make the difference in your salvation?
Yeah, I believe the word of God because the word of God will keep you going.
Okay. So the word of God because the word of God will keep you going. Thank you. It's a good answer.
I think, to my understanding, the oil is your faith.
Okay, the oil is your faith. You want to give any reason why it's your faith?
Yes, because if they were to be faithful,
yes,
they would have been expecting the bride.
Yes, okay. So the oil is your faith, the word of God, yes? What is this oil in this lamp that is so important?
What do you want to give?
I believe the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, okay. Yes. What is the oil? Now, again, remember that in all these answers, there's only one right answer. So remember that others will be wrong. So it's all part of the risk of answering the question, okay?
Yes, go ahead. Everything they have said is true. But the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And that Word is the life, and the life is Christ. So the Christ is the word, is the oil that you are talking about.
Okay. So remember, linking from the word, say actually no Christ, because we know that Christ is the word, the living word. Yes, they did not have Christ, but they called him Lord, Lord. Okay, remember, what was this golden oil that made a difference
between five people that made it and five people that were? It's not just that they didn't make it; they actually locked down.
The oil is being preparedness in, I mean, being prepared.
Being prepared, okay.
It's going to come in, we don't know what time tea.
Okay.
So, just like many people have mentioned, your faith, your belief in Christ, doing the will of God, is going to come now.
Yes, okay. So being ever ready.
Yes.
Yes, let's have one or two more answers. Okay. I want to take you in first.
I'll probably say the oil is what you did with your life.
Okay, the oil is what you did with your life. Yes, one more answer. Any other person? What is this oil? I'm going to give you the clues now so that you begin. The clues will tell you the wrong answers. Yes? Final one before the clues.
I would just say it's your relationship with God.
Your relationship with God. Now, all these answers are good answers, but I didn't find any bad answer in any of them. Okay, now let me give you the key to the right answer. This oil was something they could buy. Yes. So can you buy the Holy Spirit? In fact, a man tried it. You remember? In Acts. He tried to buy the Holy Spirit. And he was cursed. Yes? So that removes that. That was, by the way, the right answer has been mentioned. So let me not confuse you. I just want to use that to say it can't be the Holy Spirit. Because he said, you know, you go and buy. Okay? So let me change the word buy so you don't misunderstand. Buying is not necessarily what you use money to obtain. Buying is something you trade off something for. You know, you have something like I have a golden chain or a golden earring. Let me not tease somebody here. And then I trade it to get something else. So I bought it. So that's buying. So let's make it general. Okay? Yes? Again, the answer has been mentioned. Yes, anybody? Just one last opportunity. Okay, two more.
I think, like when Jesus Christ was talking with Peter,
yes,
he said, if anyone does not have a sword, he should sell his cloth and buy.
Yes.
And the buy is the word of God.
Yes.
And buy in this place, I think it's Bible.
Okay, so again, he's saying that, you know, that oil is what? The word of God. It can be bought. Yes. I'm coming back. Let's have grammar. Okay, we are finished. I just
say the wisdom of God.
The wisdom of God. Yes, yes, yes. That's a good answer. Two good answers. The word of God and the wisdom of God. Yes.
I think it's Jesus, and he's still the word of God.
Jesus. Okay. Well, we don't want to take it as Jesus because you can't buy God. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. You can't buy Jesus. You can't buy. Well, but the word of God. Yes. The wisdom of God. And finally.
Those that obey the commandments.
Okay, obey. So to round this up, I want to show you, because I need to show you scripture. Because when I meditate, when I was younger, and I read that place, I usually thought that the oil is the Holy Spirit. Because the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But until I understood the word buy, this was something they could have gotten if they did something about it. Yeah? It didn't depend on God. It depended on them. Yeah? That's the difference between the wise and the foolish bridesmaids. It was something that depended on them, not God. Proverbs 23:23. Open it. Proverbs 23:23. So yes, my answer is Proverbs 23:23. And you soon see the right answers because they've been mentioned here. Proverbs 23:23. Yes, if you are there, let me give you the mic and you read it. Proverbs 23:23. Yes, who is there? Proverbs 23:23. Yes. Let's have Sister Agnes, the third.
Proverbs 23:23.
Yeah.
Buy the truth. And sell it.
And do not sell it.
Also wisdom. And instruction. And understanding.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm still linking. So, John 17:17. Open to John 17:17. What is truth? You know, Pilate, when they wanted to crucify Jesus, he asked the question, he said, what is truth? John 17:17. Yes? What was it? John 17:17. What is truth? Yes. Please read it. Oh, you want to quote it? It's okay. John 17:17.
Sanctify us with thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Yes, let me just correct it a little. Sanctify them. Jesus was praying, yeah? Sanctify them through thy truth. Your word is true. The word of God is true. The difference between the wise bridesmaids and the foolish bridesmaids is that the wise, they build their life on truth. They embraced truth. They fed on truth. And finally, they lived for truth. They were not hypocrites. You know what an hypocrite is? Someone who honors God with their mouth, but their heart is what? Far. They have wicked imagination inside their heart. Nobody knows, but they have it. And if they have the opportunity, they will do it. Hallelujah. Truth. Truth saves. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Not all religions lead to heaven. If all religions lead to heaven, Jesus is not the way. He's a way. He said, I am the way. I am not also what? The truth. And I am what? The life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I don't think it can be clearer than that. Hallelujah. You see, the difference between the wise and the foolish is that the wise, they hear the words of God. Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. He said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and obeys them is like a wise man that builds his house on the rock. Hallelujah. But the foolish, they live their life based on lies and falsehood. They live their life based on opinion. Prejudice. You know, pride and prejudice. That's foolish Christians. They live their life based on pride. They don't live based on the word. They don't feed on the word. I told you something came out in the news recently, Premier Christian Radio, that, you know, out of those who claim to be Christians, you know, affiliated with Church of England, only 40% of them don't read their Bible at all. They are foolish. Hallelujah. Let me define wisdom. Okay, before we do that, let's show you why. So, my answer is the oil is truth and wisdom. I show you in wisdom. Proverbs 7. Look at Proverbs 7 quickly. Show you that it's truth and wisdom. And truth and wisdom are the same. Truth and wisdom are what? The same. Look at Proverbs 4:7. 4:7. Okay, read Proverbs 4:7. Proverbs 4:7. Yes.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Wisdom is the principal thing. So what should you do?
Therefore get wisdom.
You can get
wisdom.
Or you can buy wisdom. Yes. Let's stop there. How do you buy wisdom? Expose yourself to the word of God. Receive the word of God. Take the word of God. Apply it to your life. Live by the word. Hallelujah. Build your life on the rock. Hallelujah. That is the difference. Yeah? Don't take God for granted. Don't take his word for granted. Don't go off and just do your own thing and say everything will be okay. It's never okay. Hallelujah. The only guarantee that everything will be okay is to follow. Hallelujah. Let's round up there. Say, let's make a confession there. Say, I will build my life on truth. And truth is the word of God. I refuse to be foolish. I will live for Jesus. Now, when you're living for Jesus, that doesn't mean you're perfect. You will still make mistakes. But Jesus is your central focus. Hallelujah. You want to please him. You want to do his will. Even when you make mistakes, you run back to Jesus. Hallelujah. You run back to what? To Jesus. The Bible says that if we say that we have no sin, we are lying and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. I believe that God has talked to you today. I believe that God has, you know, given you what you need. You know. My passion as a pastor is that you make the most of your life. I don't want to mess about. I want you to make the most of your life. And I want you to be ready. I don't want you to have that sense of when you hear that Jesus is coming back. You should be ready and you should be happy. And there's only one way. It starts from the attitude. When you make up your mind that I'm going to live for Jesus, that's all. That means that you are ready to listen. You are ready to obey. That's the key. So go ahead and rededicate yourself to God today and say, Jesus, I have not just said, my Lord, I will live for you. That's all. It's a simple decision. When you decide and say, Jesus, the rest of my life is a life that will be lived for you. That's it. You are guaranteed. You are guaranteed. You are guaranteed never shame. When you say, Jesus, everything that I have is yours. My time, my skills, my money, my influence, my connection, everything, I offer it to you that you can use it for your glory. Whether I'm at work, whether I'm in the town center, wherever I am, I want to live for Jesus. Be a channel for Jesus. That's the guarantee. Go ahead and rededicate yourself to him. He says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is true. Build your life on the word. When you allow the word of God to take that first place in your life, you can never be ashamed. The Bible says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So if you build on the word, if you live by the word, if you follow Jesus with all your heart, you cannot perish.